Today's podcast of The Takeaway is made possible by Liberty Mutual's Responsibility Project, encouraging discussion about what it means to do the right thing. ResponsibilityProject.com.
The number of arrests and prosecutions by federal officers is at an all-time high, and most of the offenders are not American citizens.
If we come across any illegal aliens, we arrest them. We don't let them go like the Phoenix police. They do because of the mayor's policies. We arrest them pursuant to our duties. I don't see what the big problem is.
Does Arizona Sheriff Joe Arpaio represent a new attitude toward illegal immigrants in the nation? He's divided the people of Maricopa County into those who feel we need a crackdown and those who take to the streets to protest his methods. When arrest records become points of pride on The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee from Public Radio International and WNYC.
Good morning. It's Wednesday, December 23rd. I'm here with Todd Zwillick, who is filling in for the holidaying John Hockenberry.
Tanning John Hockenberry. Well, good morning, Celeste. Let's get right to the top stories this morning. A top Taliban commander in Pakistan says he's sending thousands of fighters into Afghanistan to meet the surge of U.S. troops head-on. Meanwhile, across the border in Iran, our partner, the BBC, is reporting there have been clashes this morning between security forces and opposition protesters. There are reports of police using tear gas and batons to disperse the crowds.
Here at home, we're counting down to the final procedural vote today on the Senate's health care bill. Once again, Democrats need to keep their 60-vote majority intact to force a full vote. It's now scheduled for tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Time. White House spokesman Robert Gibbs says although the Senate bill still has to be reconciled with the House version,
in all honesty, healthcare is not a matter of healthcare reform is not a matter of if. Healthcare reform now is a matter of when.
Tomorrow's vote only needs a simple majority to pass. Latino leaders are mobilizing a nationwide drive this week to urge Hispanics to participate in next year's census. Yesterday, we told you about how federal prosecutions of immigration cases have reached an all-time high. For more on that, we're joined now by John Schwartz. He's the national legal correspondent for The New York Times. Good morning, John. As we all know, federal prosecutions, all-time high. So put that in perspective for me. How many cases are we talking about, and how much higher is it than the record was before?
Well, we're looking at 169,612 federal prosecutions over the fiscal year 2009. That's a jump of 9% from the previous year, and more than half of those numbers were criminal cases. More than half of those numbers were immigration prosecutions.
Of some kind,
and that's a 16% jump in immigration prosecutions.
That's pretty high. This push to pursue more prosecutions against illegal immigration cases, it started under the Bush administration. What was the purpose?
Well, critics of the administration said that it was an attempt to toughen up so that they could get some sort of deal on immigration reform. But in fact, it was a broad attempt to streamline cases, speed them up, and instead of just turning people loose back at the border, arrest them.
Okay, John Schwartz, stay with us. We're going to be talking about this more in a moment.
Two tragic stories out of Latin America this morning. First, in Colombia, a state governor kidnapped from his home yesterday has been found dead. And in Mexico, cartel hitmen have killed the grieving mother and immediate family of an elite Marine who died while taking part in a raid that killed a notorious drug kingpin last week.
Taking a look at the markets, European indices are up this morning. Wall Street futures up also. The Dow is going to start out at 10,464. The S&P will open up at 1,118 and the NASDAQ at 2,252. Both the S&P and the NASDAQ are at their highest levels in over a year.
Well, later on in the show this morning, we're going to discuss a culinary love affair. The New York Times' Jennifer Eightley explains why she calls Chinese cuisine the chosen food of the chosen people. Pastrami egg rolls are entering the studio as I speak, and that's later on this hour. All this week now, we're remixing holiday music to give it a new spin, but you might harbor a secret joy of a carol or two. We want to know, what's your guilty pleasure holiday song? And of course, bonus points if you sing it. We've gotten some great songs coming in this week, Celeste.
Yeah.
Tell us, give us your songs. We want you to sing them at 8778-MY-TAKE. You could email them, but then you couldn't sing them at mytake@thetakeaway.org. Coming up, we'll discuss whether or not record-high federal prosecutions under the Obama administration are part of a plan to spur real immigration reform. That story's coming up in just a few minutes.
Good morning. The rate of federal prosecutions is at a record high. We've been saying that a lot, and the point is that some people can't really put that in perspective. One of the things that makes the statistic interesting is that immigration prosecutions now make up about half of all criminal cases on the federal level. We're joined again by John Swartz. He's the national legal correspondent for the New York Times. So, John, break this down for us. When we say prosecutions related to illegal immigration, what kind of crimes are we talking about? Are these just people who are here illegally, or are they also involved in crimes?
That's the bulk of it. It's people who have crossed the border illegally, been caught, and put in jail. It used to be that what we would do is capture them and basically send them back across the border. Under the Bush administration, people were the tendency went more to arrest, and these enormous under a thing called Operation Streamline, these enormous sort of group plea deals. And so people would plead guilty, and the effect of that, the practical effect, was that people would be arrested and put away for a while awaiting this plea deal, and then whatever time they served, this would keep them from being able to work, which is very tough. And then they would go back, and they'd go back with a record, so that if they got picked up again, it was worse for them.
Well, the question for me is very often people have hopes of eventually getting a green card. Does this having this arrest record impact their ability to apply for citizenship or apply for a work visa?
It could make it worse.
And the numbers show that the numbers of arrests of illegal immigrants have actually increased during this past year under the Obama administration.
Well, what people are saying about that is that Obama is in basically the same box as the Bush administration was, which is you can't put yourself in a deal to negotiate any kind of immigration reform unless you show that you're being tough yourself.
So you think he's possibly prepping for the discussion on immigration reform as President Bush was?
It could be. And remember as well that these are fiscal year 2009 figures. Some of them come over from last year. And on top of that, a lot of these systems were in place. You can't just reverse them, that you had large numbers of increases in prosecutors and border agents under the Bush administration. What are these people supposed to do? It's their job.
Well, there's one particular figure out of Arizona, and we should say that Arizona has processed 22,000 immigration cases just this fiscal year. That's about 25% of the cases that are cited in the report. That's why we were talking today to Valeria Fernandez. She's an independent journalist based in Phoenix, Arizona, and she's also part of the Feet in Two Worlds program. Valeria and John, I want you to listen to this.
If we come across any illegal aliens, we arrest them. We don't let them go like the Phoenix police. They do because of the mayor's policies. We arrest them pursuant to our duties. I don't see what the big problem is.
Valeria, that's Sheriff Joe Arpaio from Maricopa County in Arizona, and he's become a little bit of a national symbol for people who are so frustrated over the illegal immigration problem, they want to see an increase in arrests. Tell me how Joe Arpaio and that attitude plays out in Arizona.
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me on the show, Celeste.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have a really interesting dynamic going on here in Arizona. Certainly the debate is it's called ground zero for the immigration debate. It's very divisive, and you have, you know, different sides. People that totally agree with the approach and believe that local law enforcement, that the sheriff should be enforcing immigration laws. And you have the other side that's concerned about what this can do to public safety and the impact that it has on immigrant communities.
Would you say that this situation there in Arizona is kind of a symbol for the divisive attitude across the country over illegal immigration, that there is those, say, who would support Arpaio's push to just prosecute this criminally, and then there's a lot of protests in Arizona against his methods?
Yeah, I would say so. I believe that especially Maricopa County is a little microcosm of how this debate is going to play out in the rest of the nation, and maybe at times perhaps a little bit extreme with the amount of protests that we see and the amount of raids that we have almost every week on neighborhoods and communities by the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office.
So, Valeria, as divisive as it is in Maricopa County, do you see any compromise possible? Let's say Maricopa County is the microcosm of the nation. The immigration debate is coming. Do you see any room for compromise there? Are we ever going to solve this?
Well,
based on what you see at home?
I think that unfortunately we often get to hear the extreme voices in the debate, and I think that there are voices in the middle that we're going to hear from them. Probably in 2010 we're going to start hearing more about that, but it's only to be expected that, like they say, the squeaky wheel gets the grease, and you know, all of that gets more attention.
You sound a little
skeptical.
There's
certainly there is certainly other police departments, other law enforcement here in Arizona who are choosing to take a different approach.
John, let me ask you the same question, national legal correspondent for the New York Times. Do you think that a figure like Joe Arpaio and the divisiveness, the controversy he sparked, is that kind of a symbol for the national debate over this issue?
Well, you should read my email. Anytime you write about immigration, you get extreme views. People who pick down to the individual word. This word you use shows bias toward immigrants. This word you use shows bias against. The nation is, or at least the people screaming at the margins, are screaming at the margins. The question is whether we're going to have people in the middle, as Valeria says, who are able to talk to each other in Congress and come up with answers.
I'm wondering, John, as we look at this picture, and as we, I assume, once health care is finished and we begin to move on to the immigration issue, is it better to look at a place like Arizona where illegal immigration is a major day-to-day issue, or is it better to look on perhaps the more moderate, broad national approach?
Well, certainly, if you just look at Arizona, then you're looking at an extreme case, and the border's a lot bigger than Arizona. So
yep.
What's going on there is important, but you've got to look across the whole southern border of the U.S.
Well,
and let's worry about some Canadians, too, okay?
I'm with you there.
Are they coming across the border illegally and taking our syrup?
Well, they're bringing syrup, but they're doing other things, and I just worry.
They're bringing good beer. That's one thing.
You can email John Schwartz at jschwartz@newyorktimes.com. He's John Schwartz, national legal correspondent for the New York Times. We are also joined by Valeria Fernandez. She's an independent journalist from Phoenix, Arizona, and part of the Feet in Two Worlds program. Thanks to both of you. It's 15 minutes past the hour. Let's check in on the headlines now.
The closure of the military prison in Guantanamo Bay could be pushed back to 2011. Our partner, the New York Times, is reporting the Obama administration's plan to buy and refit a prison in Thompson, Illinois, that's suffering from a lack of funds now. An American Airlines plane with more than 150 people on board has crash-landed in the Jamaican capital of Kingston. The plane overshot the runway in a heavy rainstorm. Its right engine broke off and the fuselage cracked on impact. There are no reports of deaths. At least 40 people have been injured, 4 seriously. The commander of U.S. forces in northern Iraq has been defending comments he made about punishing women soldiers who get pregnant. Major General Tony Kukulow would never put a soldier in jail for getting pregnant.
I made an existing policy stricter, and I wanted to encourage my soldiers to think before they acted and understand their behavior and actions have consequences, all of their behavior.
He's walking that back a little bit. The major says he just wants soldiers to think before they act.
In Brazil, the country's chief justice has sided with an American father in a custody battle. The judge ruled that David Goldman's 9-year-old son must be delivered to him by the boy's Brazilian relatives. The boy was taken by Goldman's now deceased ex-wife to her native country of Brazil in 2004. And if your BlackBerry wasn't working right yesterday, you weren't the only one. There's problems sending and receiving emails. It's the second outage in a week for BlackBerry users. Those are some of the stories that we're looking at this morning. Up next, J. Newton Small tells us about the fallout in Capitol Hill after a Democratic congressman crosses party lines. He goes over to the other side.
Thanks for listening to the Takeaway Podcast. If there's a story you think we should look at or a conversation you'd like us to start, drop us a line at 877-8-MY-TAKE or email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org.